See, men can only have sex a certain number of times. And as they get older, it tends to become, not for all, but a little bit less. Let's say when he's younger, every day. As he gets a little older, 3 times a week. As he gets a little older, 1 a week. As he gets a little older, every 9 days. As he gets a little older, it might be every 13 days, or it might just stay at every 9. It might be every 28 days. Who knows? The number changes as you get older. And what I found is that's true. But what I know about my sexuality is that when that time comes along, okay, this is like God's little trick he plays, is that my wife, and this is about women trusting when men go in their cave, they'll be back. That rubber band, that rubber band is generally about the length of time it takes him to get horny again. Because when I pull away from my wife, I can really be even real upset with her. But once I start getting horny, it's like I'll apologize for anything. I'm back, you know. So just trust, that's a real rubber band, you know. It's built into our hormones, you know. When he starts wanting to have sex again, he's going to be back. And you know, you may not want to give him sex right away. That's okay, you know. Make sure he starts getting the habit of being a little more supportive and to you in the relationship. But when you reject a man in sex, you have to be very careful. You have to make sure you sandwich it. I think any kind of rejection needs to be sandwiched, or any kind of criticism needs to be sandwiched, too. And you sandwich a rejection by saying something nice, saying no, and then saying something nice. So if I say to Bonnie, I say, God, you know, we haven't made love in quite a while, let's make love tonight, you know, and she says, or let's make love now, she'll say, and generally she'll say yes, but if she says, if she's not in the mood, okay, she's not where she's feeling good about it, like she's got some resentment, she needs to talk first, she needs to process something first, she needs to go through something first, or she's just feeling bad or sick or something, she rejects me in a positive way, and I tell you, we've learned how to do this the hard way. Okay, because when I've been rejected around sex, it hurts a lot, and I'm not such a nice guy. And, you know, I've learned to be nicer, but we've also, she's learned to say no in a nicer way, and she's learned to sandwich it by just, if I say, you know, would you like to make love, or I'll start to kiss her and say, let's go in and make love, she'll say, oh, I love making love with you. That would be wonderful. I'm not in the mood right now. I'm feeling bad, or I'm not feeling good, or I feel like we need to talk, and there's some stuff going on between us. And once we're feeling really good, then I certainly would want to make love. I mean, you're such a great lover, but I just can't right now. Boom. You see how that was sandwiched in there? Instead of just, no, I don't want to make love with you, or I'm not in the mood tonight, or I can't make love with you. I've just done this and this and this and this, and I'm tired. Okay? I tell you, it really hurts a guy when he says he wants to make love with you, and you go, oh, God, I'm so tired. Can any men relate to what I'm talking about? It's just like, see, our experience is we can be tired sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes we're exhausted at work, and one of the ways we want to go to sleep is do a quickie. You know, so we think, hey, what's tiredness can't be an excuse. Tiredness is just a reason to do it faster, you know. So anyway, sandwich it, you know, to be able to say no is real important. Women have to be able to say no to sex, especially in beginning relationships, but also in marriages. But there's always this struggle between a man and a woman in the beginning of a relationship. It tends to be the male wants sex and the woman wants to get to know him more. Okay? Can anybody relate to that little struggle? Okay, she wants to wait, he wants to do it now. Okay? Now, there's nothing wrong with him wanting it. Okay? And there's nothing wrong with women for you saying, I'm not ready. Nobody's wrong, but you just have to make sure, women, that you respect your need for a relationship before you have sex. I don't know who can tell you when you're supposed to have sex. It may be the first time you meet somebody. It may not be till you're married. It may not be till you're in a committed relationship. That's up for you. You're grown-ups to decide that. But what I'm saying to you is don't ever have sex unless you're willing to. Because if you sacrifice, I'm talking to women especially, if you sacrifice your need for, let's say, more time to get to know each other, for his need to have sex right away, what you're doing is respecting his need more than your need. And tomorrow, guess who doesn't get respected? You. The old thing you learn is little girls, if you're an easy lay, he won't respect you. It's true. And what that means is that if you do it before you want to do it, he won't respect you because you're not respecting yourself. Respect is power. Nobody can give you power. You have to respect yourself and you have that power. And what happens with women is they see he really wants it, he really wants it. So they're afraid that if I don't give it to him right away, I'll lose him. That's the surefire way to lose him. You get him right away, he has sex with you, he gets intimate with you, he gets close to you. The next morning he looks at you, he doesn't even know you. And all that energy, that sexual energy, which is potent love energy in the body, is depleted. And he doesn't even know you. Where's the love? The whole idea is you have a relationship where you get to know the person. And then when you share that energy, you're sharing it with the person. And you're experiencing more love for that person when you're done, instead of, who is this person? And I don't want to be around this person. So it's important that you, the thing I'm saying is not how soon to have sex. What I'm saying is have sex when you're ready. It's important that you respect yourself. Now, the difference, of course, is with the junk food quickie sex, it's not like that's, you know, my wife saying, I don't want to do it. If she didn't want to do it, that would be a different story. I just handled all her considerations so that she could feel okay about doing it. And now she sees how easy it is, and she doesn't have to perform it anyway. She's happy to do it. As a matter of fact, it allows it to be a win-win. So whenever I want to have sex, basically I get to do it. Now, there are sensitive issues around this, women. I just want you to know it, because women want men to be romantic, right? How many women want men to be romantic? Okay. What you don't realize is there's subtle things you do that turn us off from being romantic. Okay. We're into being romantic. There's a part of every man that wants to be romantic. But there's another part of him that's very practical. He's kind of a little embarrassed by being romantic. It's kind of like, guys, have you ever gone to the airport with all your flowers in your hand? You're going down there, you got these flowers, you're carrying flowers. It's kind of like, gee, you know. And you have another part of it, hey, I got flowers for my girlfriend, you know, or for my wife. You know, so there's two sides of us. There's a romantic side. But what we need is reassurance that this romanticism inside of us is appreciated and honored. So part of romance is sex. So there'll be times when we want to have sex. Let's say, I'll give you an example. My wife and I were going on a vacation. Now I'm working all week. This is our vacation. First day off. It's a 4-day weekend. We're going to go up and spend some time with other couples at Big Bear. Okay? You know, we rented out a big house. And so we're going to take turns making the meals. Well, Bonnie volunteered to make the first meal. Okay? Lunchtime there. And it was real loose. It wasn't like real structured. And some people weren't even arriving or whatever. So, and I don't know anything about this. All I know is it's my first day off. I'm sleeping late. She's saying, we got to go. All right, let's go. And I lean over and I start to make love with her. You know, this is my day off. This is my time with my wife. I'm kissing her and being close to her. And she goes, you know, we got to go. I said, what do you mean we got to go? This is our time. She says, yeah, but I promised to make lunch today. For who? Well, the Schillers are there and you know, we're having lunch with them today. I said, who cares? I mean, we love them, but this is our day off. This is our time to make love. She goes, no, we have to go now or I'll be late. And what happened to me at that point was my feelings were greatly hurt. We're making our friends, who could care less, really, if we're there on time, okay, more important than who? Me. The women want us to be more spontaneous, so here's a time when I'm spontaneous, and where's she coming from now? It's practical, okay? And that's where you have to be real careful. There'll be times, women, when you'll get overwhelmed by your responsibilities in life. And a man will want to make love with you, and you'll put him off, not realizing what you're doing. Can any women relate to having done this, just out of curiosity? Yeah. It's a pretty common thing, because women tend to get overwhelmed and feel responsible for others. You forget that this is the most vulnerable time when a man approaches you, when he wants sex or wants to make love with you. Okay, when you reject him at that time, making somebody else's needs more important than your relationship needs at that time is like, well, then forget it, you know. I'm not going to put my romantic energies into this. And he tends to become more practical himself. Can any men relate to what I'm talking about here? Okay. You relate to that one. Yeah. You know, we want to be, remember I said men starts feeling really good. Okay. This is called important. Oh, we're going to make love. Oh, wow, he's in the mood to make love. All right. Okay. That doesn't mean you have to react that way all the time. But don't make somebody else. Oh, we got to go make lunch for them. Instead of make love with my husband, you got to be real careful there. And it's also with children. Now, children are very important. We have to, you know, make them very important. But sometimes, women, you need to make your husband more important than the kids, or he'll get real upset. You may never hear about it, but he needs to be more important than those kids. And from his side, he needs to make you more important than the kids. Now, this is a real subtle thing, which fathers make a mistake a lot and ruins their sex life. He comes home. The kids are there jumping up and down to see him. Hooray, hooray, love you. Look at this. Look what I did. Give me a hug and give him all the hugs. It's like, for me, it's like a football team. My kids used to come running at me. Oh, hi, how you doing? And I'd get involved with them and help them. Guess everybody came to greet me at the door, but who didn't? My wife, okay? She's in the kitchen, not talking to me now. Why? Because I didn't find her first. How do you make a woman feel special? When you get home, you find her first, okay? Where's your mom? Where's your mom? Oh, yeah, that's really nice. I'll come back and look at it in a minute. Where's your mom? Where's your mom? My kids know, okay? It's like I get home now. Mom's in the kitchen. I go in and I find her and she feels special. And this is really important that she feels special. Otherwise, the children start seeing me making the children more important than mom. And guess who, how they treat mom? That the children are more important than mom. They don't listen to mom anymore. She's already got to deal with all these kids a lot. Now, if you're not supporting that, she's going to resent you for that, and she's going to resent you because she's not feeling special anymore. She's number one, and he's number one, and we both need that. So it's important that, you know, we be able to give it, and certainly sex is one of the ways you make a man feel real important, is that you want to have sex with him. That's an important thing to you, and a thing that makes a woman feel beautiful and loved and special is that a man wants to have sex with her. Okay? It's desire, mutual desire is the ingredient of a great sexual relationship. Okay, so we talked about men want responses. Great sex is when a man succeeds in giving to a woman. In terms of those responses, you know, he wants to feel in control. In control means he can make the response. It's like sometimes I feel like a symphony conductor, you know, I'm touching a little bit here, da 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 da. And I get a little response, you know. Da, 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 you know, touching over here, yeah. You know. Response, you know, it's like, da da da, okay. So he's getting And that's an important thing, again, for women to know that your response is the greatest gift as opposed to you trying to get him to respond, okay? You giving to him is not really what does it for him. I'll give you an example of this. One time in my relationship with my wife, we had great, great sex, okay? It was like 4th of July sex. It was memorable sex that if I have that once a year, I'll be happy for the rest of my life, okay? It was, you know, you would never expect it to happen over and over. If it didn't happen ever again, that would be fine, too. It was just one of those wonderful memories that you cherish. It was gourmet sex. It was going on, you know, close to athletic sex, okay? It was going on and on and on, and she was out of her mind. I mean, she was in her body. Everything was pleasing. Everything was pleasure. Everything with me was pleasure. And she was, like, going wild. And at some point, she just kind of jumped up and sat on top of me and started riding me like a horse, okay? And I'm from Texas, so that was very endearing to me. Okay. So see that riding on top of me like a horse. Go on, go on, go on. And her eyes like rolling back, and she's just in an altered state, you know. Now, I'm lying back as she's riding on top of me, and I'm doing nothing. Okay, I'm absolutely doing nothing, but I'm doing it all. See, this is what really felt great, is by my just lying here and her riding on top of me, I was bringing all this pleasure to her. That's a man's greatest pleasure, okay? Is he doesn't have to do anything and he's driving her wild, okay? I said, this is okay. And she went on and on and on until she finally came. And then I got up and I jumped on top of her, rode her for a while, and I came and it was great and glorious and everything. But to me, it was the most glorious part. It was not my orgasm at all. It was just watching her go wild on me and I wasn't having to do anything. See, it feels like, it's like being a, you know, like rising to the top of success. In the beginning, you have to work hard, you have to work hard, you have to work hard, you're always working. As you get more and more successful, the less you do, the more money you make. You just stand back, you don't go to work. You say, you handle it, and they make more money, okay? It's like all these results are happening, you don't have to do much at all. But you're still doing it. It's you. It's your decisions, it's your thought. Well, in this case, it's my friend down here. He was doing the whole thing by just lying here, okay? Now, that was a sense of fulfillment for me, and afterwards I said, boy, that was really something. That was great. And she, interesting enough, she goes, well, what was it that made it so great for you? Yeah. She picks up all this stuff. So, and I was thinking, God, that was really great, honey. I mean, that was just wild. It was just so memorable. I just loved that. And she sort of went, oh, he loved that. He liked that. So she put in her little sex manual for how to please John, okay? All of a sudden, jump on top of him and ride him like a horse. You know, he's from Texas. Okay, so that was a Texas sex manual. So 2 days later, we were making love. And we're in bed. It must have been about 10 minutes in, 5 minutes in, or something like that, real soon in the beginning. All of a sudden, she jumped on top of me and started riding me like a horse. It was like a complete turnoff. It was just like, didn't fit at all. It didn't feel good, and it was over very quickly. Can any men relate to what I'm talking about? Why it wouldn't be a turn on to have that happen? Raise your hands, this is what the women see, okay? I don't know if you get it, women, yet, but it's what she did is she did something she thought I liked. She was doing something to please me. When what I liked the other day, when it was great, well, she wasn't doing anything to please me. I was doing everything to please her. It was like I was pleasing her, and she was just responding. This time, she was doing something to me, and that's good, that's okay. But what's really great is when what I'm doing is working, okay? That's the real thing that makes a man feel great, have great sex. So that's a good point to remember. So now I'm going to do a chart. What I'm going to do to draw this picture is draw a woman's body pretty much the way we men look at you. See, a woman tends to see the whole person. Guys start out with one point and then another point and another point. They sort of build the picture. So I'm going to just build this picture of a woman here. So I'll... First thing I generally look at, I see these wonderful breasts, okay? Breasts are beautiful, so let me just draw these pretty breasts. Okay, we'll do right. Now, what I want to do is talk about breasts for a moment, because sometimes women go, oh, guys want big breasts. Now, some guys love big breasts. I just happen to be one of those guys that likes small breasts. My wife is on the smallish side of breasts, and I'm very happy with that. What it is that men are drawn to as far as breasts is the energy that comes out. Some might like big, some might like small. For me, personally, any size would work fine, okay? Because it's the energy that comes out, okay? Like those little nipples right there. It's like ray guns shooting out energy. There's energy coming out of there that makes us feel more whole and more complete. It draws us to you. Size is not that important, nor age, okay? As a matter of fact, a woman becomes more attractive with age as she grows in self-love. The problem with one of the problems women have is they associate their beauty with their teenage years when men started getting aroused. See, that's when our hormones were clicking or going wild, you know. We just thought about women and we're always looking and peeking and looking at the changes and we're very interested in you. And all of a sudden you're developing these breasts and this body, and at that age it tends to be a lot more firm. Okay, so you associate, men are attracted to me when I'm firm. And you start to believe that if you're not firm, then you're not attractive. And that's not the reality. What makes you attractive is when you feel attractive, when you're loving yourself. Femininity is beauty. It's gracefulness. It's the way you can walk. It's the way you move your hips, okay? It's just, it's a fluidity that you have. It's a responsiveness that you have. That's what makes a man respond to you. That's your beauty. But when a woman thinks her beauty is skin deep, she doesn't become attractive. I've counseled many models and sometimes couples where, you know, they were very, very physically beautiful, and yet the husband was very turned on to other women, not turned on to his wife, because she was so insecure of her own body. This is the problem. You see, many of the models have these like perfect bodies according to these certain standards, feel very insecure because the more perfect they are, the more they notice the few little blemishes that they have, the extra little cellulite here, you know, or the little darkness right here, or whatever. She'll like, oh gosh, that doesn't make me beautiful. Whereas what women have to practice is loving themselves, and that's what makes a man love them. But there is a male side to this. Our media hypnotizes men into thinking what beautiful is. And the only thing that breaks us free from that would be a different media, which is not going to change right now. And the other thing which is really changes is loving someone. When I fell in love with my wife, all of a sudden, you know, I became dehypnotized. And the only other time I'd experienced being dehypnotized is when I saw a German movie with subtitles. And in it, there was this guy making love to an overweight woman. And I'd never seen this before. Okay, normally when they show any kind of sex scene, or, you know, not that explicit, but pretty explicit sex scene, you know, they have someone that's like gorgeous, thin body, you know, according to the media, okay, according to advertising. And all of a sudden, here was this overweight woman. And this guy was in love with her. And I remember what I went through watching it. At first he went, wait, stop. You're not supposed to do this. This isn't okay. You can't do this. And then they'd show his eyes, and they'd show him touching her. And all of a sudden, I just got into it and realized, what am I talking about? This woman is beautiful. When I saw her through his eyes, I got de-hypnotized. So to an extent, we're all hypnotized, women and men alike, as to what beautiful is, and we need to free ourselves of that. Love does it. Okay, back to foreplay. Okay, here are the breasts. Now, next part I tend to notice is hips. Okay, so there's the hips. All right, I got legs. Oh, such pretty legs. Okay, here we go. Now, here we got vagina. Here's that little pouch. Are they fur pouch? Okay, a little fur. So we got that, we got the navel. We've got her neck. And here another erogenous zone is her neck. Okay, here's her arms. Did I leave anything out, guys? Okay. Okay, give me a hand for this so I don't feel embarrassed or I just say. Now, we're going to talk about foreplay. Now, a long time ago, if a guy got to talk about sex, generally they'd say, now look, you guys, you're going to stick it in, you're going to want to come right away, but you're supposed to last a little longer. So what you can do to last longer is think about baseball. Okay? Now, I think we're conscious enough to know now that if you think about baseball, she's not going to feel it's a very intimate experience, right? You need to be thinking about her. You need to be loving her. And that's going to make her feel loved and special and aroused and all that good stuff. You have to have her attention on her. But we men are drawn to baseball, so I like to use a few baseball examples of how to do foreplay. So imagine what a baseball game would be like if you didn't watch the whole game, but you just saw the highlights on the news. It'd be kind of boring, right? Because it's predictable. You know, I mean, once you know it's happened, to watch the game is no big deal because you already know what the outcome is. Okay, so you get a rerun of the game, it's no big deal. A game is exciting when you don't know what's going to happen. Well, that's what makes foreplay exciting for a woman. It's like she's watching a baseball game. She doesn't know what's going to happen next. So here you are. You're touching her on the neck. You're touching her with one finger. She's going, he's touching me with one finger. Man up at base. Man at bat, okay? And he's starting to strike. Two fingers, okay? He's got another strike, okay? Now three fingers, okay, now he's starting to circle around. Circling around, what's he gonna do now? Now he starts to move down the body, getting close, he's gonna get the first, nope, didn't make it, okay. He's back up there, okay. And that one's out of there, okay. He's moving around here. See, the whole key is you're touching her. You can use one finger, you can use two fingers, you can use two fingers counterclockwise. All these things make a difference. Remember, little things make a difference. Now you're using three fingers, you're moving down the shoulders, up the arms. You just happen to graze your palm over the nipple. Oh, he almost made the first, but didn't make it. Okay, now who's up next? Now you're stroking your whole palm across the top of her chest, feeling some of the softness of her breast. She's going, he's getting closer. Nope. He didn't make it. Now he's going down. Oh, where's he going? He's going over to my leg. Okay, now that feels good. On the thigh. What's he going to do next? back up on my right arm. Okay, he's touching my right arm. Oh, he's doing that movement again. Two fingers up and down. Okay. Oh, fingers are going up to the neck, up to the chin here. We're getting some action. Okay, he's kissing me. Okay, got a kiss. Now he's kissing her. After he kisses her, he starts kissing her on the eyes. She goes, oh. No one's ever kissed me on the eyes before. And he's kissing around here and on the ears. He's pulling the earlobes. And he's moving down here again. Now he's starting to notice her breathing is changing. So he starts making big circles. This is kind of like those John Wayne movies, you know, when the Indians used to circle around. Okay, now you're... Get those wagon trains in a circle now. And you're starting to circle. And you're careful not to be in a hurry. You're getting closer and closer. Just woo, 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 woo. You're going around and around, gently circling, getting closer to that nipple, You can start to see it, start to get a little harder. It's starting to say, touch me. Not yet, you say. And you're back up there. He's out of there. Next batter up. Okay. Now you're moving your hand, you're going down, you're feeling the hips, you know, you're feeling the, you're moving around, feeling the buttocks, you know. Maybe at this point she's got her panties on. You don't just take her panties right off. You never just take them right off. You put your finger in the elastic and you rub it around. You just, it's like, I might take these off soon. Then you're back up here, touching here. Oh, he's around the breast and he's going around there and around there. Oh, gosh, it feels so nice. You're making these little noises. Oh, you're so soft. You're saying things to her, adjectives and nouns to describe her. You're so sweet, you're so beautiful, your skin's so soft, I love you, you feel so good. Talking about her, touching her, it really helps her self-esteem when she's naked if you're saying loving things to her. Okay, it's a real powerful time to touch her deeply. Deeply. And now you're touching again. You're going, you're circling around. You still haven't touched the nipples. They're getting harder and harder. They're saying, please, please. We're going to move down here. Yeah. Then you're moving around here. The object is you tease her. You don't get right to the point. You wait till she's begging for you to get right to the point. Now you're moving your hands around. You're moving down here. Thighs. Hey, thighs are such an erogenous zone for her. It feels so much better to circle big, wide around, you know, the pubic hairs without even getting to them first. Then you start getting to the pubic hairs. You might start pulling a little bit on the pubic hairs, just pulling. It's teasing her. She starts, oh, yeah, yeah, get a little closer there. And then you pull back around. See, the whole key is mastery. You're getting her to want you as much as you want to get inside of her. And that's the payoff. That's why you can discipline yourself to not just get right to the point. I mean, I want to, you know, be right in there and come and orgasm and all that stuff. But wouldn't it be greater if she wanted me as much as I want her? So this is the whole art, teasing her until she wants it more and more and more. So you're back up here and you're kissing her some more and touching these different places. You're gently pressing your body against her. You can be using both hands. You're moving back and forth, putting your face against her heart. You know, oh, and then another one where you're moving your hand, your energy, just bringing the energy down from the breast down here to the pubic area. Moving the energy down, moving the energy down. Doing the panties again. Now you're touching in the panties. And then you're starting to pull the panties off. And what do? Pull them back on. But this time you pull them up a little tighter, you know, so it's like giving her some pressure up in the vagina area and giving her a little stimulation that way. So now you're kind of pulling it, but you're pulling it the wrong way. You see, it won't come off. You're pulling it up, you know, and stretching it and stretching it, you know. And then you're moving it down a little bit. And you move your hands, you forget about that for a little while, you come back and you kiss her and you look at her and you see how aroused she's getting. See, men are very visual, they need to look, okay, and they see you and they get turned on and then they come back down here. And now you're going on the nipples and you can start licking those nipples, kissing those nipples, touching those nipples, moving back and forth, gentle movement back and forth, steady movement after a while. Once you've done all this expanded movement, then you can start moving into these little steady movements, and then relaxing for a while, moving over to this nipple. God gave him these two beautiful breasts, not one, that's too focused. You see, you do one, then you do the other, and you go back to the other. And then after a while, you start moving down here again, and you're starting to bring your fingers around the labia. Now, this is a little biology lesson for those of you that may have forgotten or never had this lesson. So we're going to pretend like there's this little, you know, pictures, they have those magnifying glasses. So this is the magnifying, this is the blow up right over here on the side. We'll do the magnifying blow up and we'll do a magnification of the vagina area so we can really understand what you're doing down there. You know, some guys just sort of stick their hand down there, it's hit or miss, you know, and she's trying to get him to go the right spot, moving her body over here, you know. He thinks this is really interesting movement, you know. She's trying to tell you, over here, you know. My wife, what she does is she just takes my hand and puts it in the right spot, you know. So this is to, we also sat one time, which I think is a good idea for couples to do, is we sat and I actually looked at that area and I said, now which is the spot that feels the best? Not that we're going to make love, we just sort of made it a clinical thing. Where exactly is your clitoris? I found exactly the location of her clitoris and I practiced. Now, without looking, I'd say, now am I right on it now? She'd know, you're a little bit to the left. And I get over right to the center, so I knew from touching my finger without looking where I was, what I was doing. Because there'd be so many times when I'd be making love with her and she was going wild and I'm going, I wonder what I'm doing down there. I don't know exactly what I'm touching. I'm just sort of like shotgun approach, touching everything, you know. So it's good to have a real acute awareness of every little detail down there so you have control. You know how to give her more direct stimulation. You know how to give her more teasing stimulation. You never give full direct stimulation until she's really moaning and begging for it. See, you're building it up, building it up. So let's do this little magnification of the vagina area here. It's like another set of lips, okay? This is called the vaginal lips, okay? And just like the lips like to be touched, and sometimes you can touch the lips with your fingers and kiss them, so also you can touch the vaginal lips and then kiss them. We'll get to that in a moment, okay? So now we're still with our hands, touching the lips with your fingers. And what you're doing is you're moving your fingers around that area, and then you're getting closer and closer and closer till you get to the vagina, which is where we, at a later point, we'll insert the penis, okay? This is what most guys do know, okay? There's something in there that you stick in. But there's something much more important in there, which is the clitoris, or the, some people pronounce it the clitoris, but somehow I learned the first time clitoris, so I stick with clitoris. You say clitoris, I say clitoris, okay. I know where it is, and that's what counts, okay? Notice I'm licking my lips now. It's conditioned response. Okay. Little Pavlovian stuff up here. Okay. Now, right at the top side, the north side, okay, of this vagina, the north side, there's a hood. The hood is like a little triangular hood, and peeking out of the hood is a miniature penis. That's the clitoris. This little tiny penis. That's what you should think of it as, guys, because it loves to be touched, but only at the right time. Okay. The hood is there to protect it. For some women, the hood covers it more than for others. If the hood covers it a lot, or even half, what can be at times of great intensity, what you have to know is you pull the hood back. You press your thumb above the hood, and you push in and pull up, and that will expose the full clitoris, and you can apply direct stimulation, and that can really send the woman wild. But you wouldn't do that right away. If you apply direct stimulation with a lot of pressure at the beginning of clitoral stimulation, you can numb her so she wouldn't have an orgasm, even if she could have. So you want to be careful not to be too intense at the beginning, where sometimes a guy might feel like, hey, grab it, you know, real tight, you know, that's fine. For women, it's just the opposite. It's real soft. So you're circling the clitoris for a while. You're getting lubrication up there. You would never want to touch the clitoris if it wasn't wet. You've got to bring some lubrication up. If she's not lubricating enough down there to bring it up, it might be a sign it's not time to be touching the clitoris. Wait another 5 minutes with all the other stuff. Remember the baseball game we were playing? Got to go all around the bases many times before you get a homer. Okay. With the clitoris, you can press it too hard, it can numb it. And if you press it when it's not lubricated, it will hurt. It will be just like a friction, it will burn her. So you want to be careful, there's always lubrication. Just put your fingers in your mouth and bring the saliva out, and that's plenty of lubrication down there. But generally, if it's not lubricated, you don't want to be touching too much down there. But sometimes she just may be in some kind of cycle with her bodily fluids, so she could be very aroused and not lubricating a whole lot. That's another possibility. And it's especially true when a woman is breastfeeding. Okay, when a mother is breastfeeding a baby, you know, after a few months she may start feeling aroused again. Sometimes she doesn't feel aroused for many months, sometimes before. But even if she's aroused, if she's breastfeeding, she won't tend to lubricate for quite a while. So you need to know, men, that you need to use good old KY jelly. KY jelly or any other kind of lubricant, it's great for quickies too. You know, you're going to have a quickie, you get that lubrication down there. Sometimes my wife will just say, okay, we take off her clothes, she pulls it out and lubricates herself, says, all right, I'm ready, you know. So it's just done very efficiently, Martian style. Okay. Back to the clitoris. I still remember, I'm going to talk about oral sex. First of all, before I talk about oral sex, I just want to make sure that the women in this room love sex. Okay. Do the women in the room love sex? If you love sex, this is a good message for the guys to get. Okay. Because, see, our first experience of a woman was our mother. And her mother wasn't into having sex with us, so we got this message that mom doesn't like sex, you know? And then when she found me the magazines, she like, oh my God, my child's a pervert, you know? It's like, God, you know, I guess she's not into sex, it's just us guys, you know? We're just perverted or something. But women love sex, it's just they need to be loved first, and then they love it. Whereas guys sometimes will want sex before they feel love. Whereas women want sex, but at the right time for them, which is, they feel loved, they feel supported, then their sexuality has a chance to emerge and come out. Why? Well, part of that is because for a woman, sex is a much deeper experience, okay? You're going in her, she's receiving somebody in their house. It's not as though you're going out for coffee, you know? She's inviting you into her home, you know? Whereas guys, he's just going out somewhere, he can always come back to his pad alone, okay? Where she brings you in and you kind of leave yourself there and it's like, hold on here, this is a much bigger thing for her. So, you know, she's going to want to feel safer, she's going to want to feel loved, and of course this goes all the way back to those times, you know, prehistoric times where, you know, if she's going to have sex, she's going to be pregnant and she's going to have this baby and she wants to have somebody who's going to be around to help her take care of the baby. So there's a lot of needs for safety. So for women, they want sex, but they need something first. And don't give it until you got what you need. Otherwise, you're not respecting yourself, women, as I mentioned before. But men need to know, we need to be reassured again and again that you love sex. So we're going to do it together. I'm going to count to three, and I want to hear the women say, I love sex. One, two, three.
I love sex!
All right. That's music to my ears. So we'll do that one again. Remember I talked about all the messages we need to hear 1,000 times? Okay. This is how I get to hear that message. Okay. One, two, three.
I love sex!
Now, how many men really like hearing that? Let's just see the guys. Okay. Whoa, all right, okay. So, now we're going to move to this next part of sex, which is a part of sex is oral sex, okay? So here's this guy, and he's touching her everywhere. Sometimes women love to have oral sex. Lots of times women love to have oral sex. Any women love oral sex in this room? Okay, oral sex is where he puts his mouth and kisses your vagina lips and kisses your clitoris and licks your clitoris. So what we want to do is make sure the men get the right idea here. So I'll count to three and then you do I love oral sex. Okay, ready? One, two, three.
I love oral sex!
All right, that's that, okay. See, you know, when I was a teenager, I didn't know anything about oral sex. I had no conception of oral sex. And I remember as having been a monk for 9 years, and when this woman, I had left, gone out to California, and I knew I had to change my life. I didn't know exactly how. Some big change was taking place. And I ended up living in some place on a retreat area where there's several houses. And I just rented a little room. I didn't have much money or anything. And I was putting my food in the refrigerator, and this woman walked in. The woman in my dream. I'm like, whoa, far out, you know, who's this? And she was older than me. She was an older woman, and that was, whoa, who is this, you know? And I guess she was 5 years older or something, wiser and more experienced. Anyway, I had to get to know her, and so I immediately introduced myself. She was not interested in me at all. But she lived on the estate, so I went over and sat by her door. And I think it might have been for a couple of days. I just sat there. And one thing I was good at as a monk is meditating for long periods of time. So I could sit and do nothing quite easily. So I would sit there until late, and then I'd go home and sleep, and get up in the morning and go sit by her door again. She kept seeing me, and she didn't want to talk to me. But after a few days or something, she said, all right, who are you? You know, and I said who I was, and it was similar to her background. And so we started talking, and I asked her what she did, and she said she gives massages. And I said, and she said, would you like one? I said, sure, you know, and I hadn't had a woman touch me in 9 years. I'm getting ready to lie down and have this massage. She kind of giggled and said, well, you have to take off your clothes. I just was completely embarrassed. I went, this is California, you know. I started to say, well, I'm from Texas, but then I said, hey, what the heck, you know, you live once. So I remember about 10 or 15 minutes into this massage, she was quite good. Very good at teasing, you know. She'd put her hand close, but not touch, you know, and she'd, to that area down there. Within an hour, you know, we were starting to make love, and she was telling me what she liked, and I was very open to it. And at one point, she stopped, and she says, I was starting to penetrate her, and she said, oh, no, no, before you penetrate, I always like to, you know, get off a few times with oral sex. And I said, oral sex, what's that? And she says, oh, that's where you put your mouth on my clitoris and you lick it. And you just do a steady lick. And I missed it. As soon as she said mouth on clitoris, I didn't hear the steady lick. I went, mouth on clitoris? Yeah. I remember like swallowing. It's like, oh my God. And she said, I said, really? And she goes, she's real easy with that. Sure, sure, it's okay. Okay. And I remember it was like getting in a pool for the first time and going underwater. I go, okay, here I go. And it was like a timeless moment I'll always remember for the first time. Here I go down, you know. So when I went down, it was very easy. And basically, all you have to do is move your tongue. And in the beginning, I was kind of like shy of drinking it or taking it in. So I was like using my own saliva to lubricate. But after I did some research on it, I found that it's very healthy. And some of the Oriental people consider it to be the elixir of immortality. So since that time, I've learned various techniques on giving oral sex. And basically, you use your tongue. And when your tongue gets tired, you use your finger. And when you're busy with your tongue again, you can use your finger back up here on the nipple. And again, you can lubricate your finger and touch the nipple. And it's even more sensuous for her because it's lubricated. Okay. Sometimes you can then bring your mouth back up to a nipple and bring your hand back down to the clitoris. It's movement, it's change, it's variety. You should never be bored. If ever you're giving oral sex and you're bored, she's going to get bored. It just means when you start to get a little bored, it's time for a change. You just do something differently. So occasionally I just offer these little extra techniques in case you really get bored. There are things you can do, but you don't really have to use these, but they're kind of fun to look at. One is you're moving your tongue along and or you're touching with your finger. It's just kind of like this up and down movement. You can start doing up and down, back and forth, up and down, back and forth. You can start doing, you know, back this way, and so forth. But after a while, you can get a little artistic, you know, and you can start drawing letters. You can do A, B, C. You do the whole alphabet, you know. It's just like, and you can listen, which letters turn her on the most, you know. It's like, and then you can write her short notes. I love you. Oh, whatever, okay. But the main thing is the variety. If you're going along in clitoris for a while with your tongue, then you can take your hand while you're down there and you pull the hood of the clitoris back and you're doing your tongue again on the clitoris. And you can do, imagine that the clitoris is like a little hill. You can ride up to this, not to the peak, but just moving up to the top, kind of flicking and licking up, licking up, licking up, circling around and around and around, going over the top, licking directly on the top, back and forth, back and forth. And then if you really get in there, you can see it, and then you can practice with your finger. You, of course, cut your nails for this, okay? And you can get your finger right on top of the clitoris, and there's a little ridge inside of it, and you can kind of just circle real delicately inside, and there's an extra little layer of sensitivity in there. I remember the day I discovered that. It was just my wife went, whoa, what is that? You know, I mean, just like, she went into another space altogether, hyperdrive, right at that moment. And of course, you don't always do it every time. You do variety. You do a little bit of this, a little bit of that. But there are all these different little movements, sensitive movements. And basically, when I talked before about home-cooked sex, home-cooked sex is a good 20 minutes of foreplay. Maybe the first 10 minutes you're just arousing around her body, kissing her and being close and hugging and rubbing a bit on top of her and whatever. And then you're starting to circle and circle and circle. Now you're starting to go down thighs, getting to the labia and the vagina and the clitoris. Good 10, 15 minutes sometimes. There's 10 minutes on the clitoris going along. What's happening is her energy is building up. And when it gets to a peak, then there's a signal. And I suggest one single, you could create your own too, but a signal so the man doesn't give you the orgasm. You don't want him to have the orgasm right away. You want to get to the place where you're about to have an orgasm, and then he settles down a little bit. And it's less direct stimulation for a while, and then back to direct. So one of the signals you could use is please. You just stay at that moment. You're about to have an orgasm, you go, please. Please can mean so many different things. It could mean, please give me my orgasm, or it means you're pleasing me so much, or it can mean, please, don't, please stop or I'll come and I want this to last forever. You know, it can mean a lot of different things, but what it means is you're informing him that you're at your peak of pleasure. And he has a choice. He can give you an orgasm or he can now tease you more. And he will let your energy settle down a little bit. Now he's back to the thighs, spreading that energy out, kissing the nipples or touching around here, rubbing around, getting more sensual, getting more of the feel of what she's feeling, and then coming back to direct stimulation, bringing her up another time to another peak, letting it settle down, bringing her up to another peak, letting it settle down. That's up three times. Then the next time you give her orgasm. Now for me, sometimes I'm in a mood where I'm going to last a long time, in which case, you know, I will, you know, I have to bring her up about three times. I'll then penetrate her and we'll have intercourse for quite a while, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, maybe longer. You know, there's this whole myth about the stud who lasts for an hour. The truth is, the stud who lasts for an hour generally makes that woman quite sore. Can any women relate to what I'm talking about? It's like, big deal, so you lasted for an hour, you know? What she wants is all the foreplay and the stimulation, you know? And just your energy goes into her. It's like really the energy that fills her up. It's the same thing, penis size. Women don't even notice penis size unless it's like way too big or it doesn't exist, okay? That would be, they would notice it. But, you know, there's a thing about a woman's body is that when she's having a partner sexually over a period of time, her vagina will adjust to the size of the penis. If the penis is really big, it will start to adjust to that. If the penis is smaller, it will start to adjust to that until, you know, it feels like the right size. Her body just naturally adjusts over a period of time to snugly fit the right size penis, I mean, the right penis for her, okay? And generally, if it's the right person, it's the right penis. Penis size is not it. Just like breasts, it's the energy. Penises, it's the energy. So moving up three times, then if I'm in the mood for lasting longer, then I'll enter inside of her, we'll have intercourse for a while, she'll have her orgasm, and then I have my orgasm. But on certain times, when I feel like, you know, if I'm inside of her, I'm gonna have to be controlling myself too much to wait for her orgasm before I have my orgasm, I'll give her an orgasm before I penetrate inside of her. She can have her orgasm while I'm still outside of her, and then when I enter inside of her, it's not like a man who, once he has his orgasm, don't touch me there. Woman can have an orgasm, then the penis can go inside, and she can even receive him more. So it can be either way, but both are fulfilling for her. And then he doesn't have to worry about how long am I going to last, am I going to fulfill her first? Because one of the cardinal rules of great sex is that if the woman's in the mood for an orgasm, that she have her orgasm first. Now, we can always make mistakes, and afterwards say, sorry, ma'am, it just sort of popped out, you know? But there are times, but the courtesy in sex is that the man waits to let the woman have her orgasm before he has his orgasm. And this is because, I mean, the woman's experience is totally different. If I've just come and had my orgasm, and now I start to say, oh, honey, would you like me to give you an orgasm, and I start to stimulate her, you know, she may be in the mood for that, but it's not going to be the same thing as when I'm stimulating her and I have an erection. Can any women relate to what I'm talking about there? Because see, there's two things. If I don't have an erection, if I'm not aroused towards her, when I'm stimulating her, she's only getting off on her own male energy. It's like masturbating for her. You're just helping her out. And sometimes she'd rather do it herself, okay? So it's not going to be as fulfilling as when you have your erection. That's a sign your energy is flowing into her. When your energy is flowing into her, then she doesn't have to use her male energy. She can just be in her female energy and receive your male energy, and she gets off on that. So it's a much more fulfilling experience for her. So the thing I suggest is the man lets the woman have the orgasm first, then he has his. Now, of course, there's this thing that most people have this idea, let's plan our orgasms together. And personally, orgasm, I don't mind, they're all great, okay? If they happen to be together or before whatever, it's a positive thing. But when you have a simultaneous orgasm, what people don't sometimes realize is that you kind of lose both of you, okay? It's not a win-win. I have my orgasm when she has her orgasm. Generally, my orgasm comes up, I'm overwhelmed by my experience. It's like I bounce off of her back into myself. She's overwhelmed by her orgasm, and she doesn't get a chance to experience me as much because she's overwhelmed with all the pleasure in her. So many times you sort of lose each other at the time of orgasm, which is a time of tremendous union. So you can really get two orgasms for the price of one, okay? If you let her have her orgasm first, then the man gets to feel her whole orgasm. And if a man gives you the foreplay, he will experience your pleasure. Can any man relate to that? You experience her pleasure. You experience her orgasm. Your pleasure becomes our pleasure. So you have your orgasm, and generally I wait till her energy starts settling down right after orgasm, and then that's when I start cranking up the choo-choo train. I go, I'm coming, honey. And she's going, you know, it's like she has a whole nother orgasm, but it's not an orgasm. What she's experiencing is my orgasm. Okay? So she gets her orgasm and I get to experience it. Then she gets to experience my orgasm, all the energy filling her up. It's like, whoa, just fills her up. And she gets to fully enjoy that. So that's my recommendation, is when you're both going to have orgasms, make sure the woman has hers first. And occasionally, if you have simultaneous, I mean, it's all fun. There needs to be variety. Never get too strict about anything. Anyway, so that's my talk on foreplay. If you appreciate my talk on foreplay, let me know if you're clapping. Now, a part of me needed to be rather scientific with this, and so I got a little model here that helped me to learn the value of not having an orgasm or ejaculation right away. Because the message here, the principle here, is that if you go in waves, let your energy build up, relax, you'll be able to experience more pleasure when you finally do come. A friend of mine, many years ago, started a pain clinic based upon electric acupuncture. They put needles in you and they pump electricity in to cause, to reduce pain in people who are experiencing tremendous pain in their bodies. So I wasn't experiencing tremendous pain in my body, but I thought this would be a far out thing to test this theory out. Because she was telling me about how people, if they, after a while, they can receive more and more electricity. So I went and did it, and what they did is they put the needle in, they hooked up the current. They turn up the dial as much current as you can take, and let's call that 100 ohms, okay? So you can take 100 ohms, and 105 will start to hurt. And you'll say, stop, and they put it at 100. That's your amount. They'll keep pumping in 100 ohms for 10 minutes. And after 10 minutes, they double it. And you don't notice hardly anything. It doesn't hurt. After 10 minutes, they again add that original increment. So now it's three times the original amount. After 10 minutes, they add the same increment. So it's 400, four times the original amount. 10 more minutes, 500. 10 more minutes, 600. In an hour, you're handling six times more energy than you could start handle in the beginning. So I thought this is a trick. So I went back and tried just twice the energy the next day. I remember what my amount was, and I put twice the energy in, had turned up, and burned my arm. Literally burned, blisters. I mean, it was like intense. My body could not handle it. This is very much what happens when we men just want to go right for orgasm, okay? Is the energy is pumping into our body, and instead of relaxing and letting it build up, our body can't handle all of our energy at once. And so what happens is a circuit breaker goes off. Just like if too much electricity was going into these light bulbs, what would happen to keep the wires from burning? The circuit breaker has this intelligence that says, oh, we got to turn it off and for a little while. And that's what an ejaculation is. It says, okay, you've just received all the energy you can handle or all the pleasure you can handle, so we've got to shut it off. So if we can think of us as having pleasure tanks, okay, we talked about love tanks, one sex, our body is a pleasure tank. We can fill up with only so much pleasure, and then alarm bells goes off and we ejaculate to say, okay, show's over, that's all we can handle. Okay, the system's overheating, alert, alert, it's over. If you just wait till the system just begins to overheat, then you say, okay, cool down system, relax, everything's fine. You relax, it's as though the pleasure will drain out of you. Where does it go? It goes into the woman, it goes into your partner. You let the energy settle down, and then when you let it come back up, and it will naturally come back up, it will come back up, but this time your container will be bigger. It's like you shift into another gear, and you let it drain a little bit, your energy goes into her, and then what happens is it comes back up, and this time you've got a bigger pleasure container, and you can go up and up and up, I suggest three times. Now, what I do for myself, only in gourmet sex do I keep going up and up and up generally, but although we always have to have variety with the thing, but I will generally fill up my tank once. And that, to me, is the sign that if I go any further, I'm going to have an orgasm, it's going to be all over. So what I say is, okay, I got my tank full. I'll now put my energy on pause and empty the whole thing out into her. So at that point, I don't let her touch my penis. I don't let her arouse me anyway. If I was starting out having intercourse, let's say it was just, we started doing intercourse right away, I would pull my penis out, not let her touch it. I give her a sign that now it's all for her. I put her arms back and I just start touching her, doing foreplay, loving her, giving to her, arousing her, bringing her energy up to a peak, letting it settle down, bringing her up three times. What I've noticed is as I bring her up three times, my tank just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. I just need to fill up my tank once, empty it into her, and as she gets bigger and bigger with it, I get bigger and bigger with it. And then if she wants to start doing more to me, she could, and I could take me up a few times, and I'll take her up a few times, sharing back and forth. So what this brings us to is what I call the polarity sex. It's a formula for making win-win sex. Here's the man in one column, the female in the other. Step one is where the man receives or takes, and the woman gives. Okay, it's not about me really turning on her, it's just about me getting off. You know, I'll kiss her, I'll rub her, I might touch her body, look at her body, get all turned on. Basically, I'm rubbing on her, she might be giving me oral sex. We might have some intercourse at that time, kind of like a quickie to start with. But the most important thing in polarity sex is I don't have an ejaculation. Stage one lasts until my tank is full. As soon as my tank is full, I say to myself, look, you got 30 seconds more. Why not make your wife totally happy and not have your orgasm now? Stop. And that's what you have to do. You have to get in your head and make a decision to stop, because the penis has got a mind of its own. It says, I'm a bull and I'm going for it, you know. And so you have to have a good reason up here to stop. And to me, the good reason that really worked for me was, all right, I want to have, you know, go for it with her, but what do I want more is for her to want me as much as I want her right now. And just sort of shift on that. So now I'm going to bring her to this moment of great ecstasy that I'm feeling, and I shift to stage two. So stage one is over when I start feeling that in a minute I'm going to have an ejaculation. Then I move to stage two. Stage two is where I now give to her. I overflow into her. I empty my energy into her. And what she does is she receives. And this is what I was talking about before. If a woman is successfully giving to him, then she feels relaxed and can open up to receive. Sometimes what turns my wife on most is the opportunity to turn me on. When she can turn me on, when she does all her little magical things on me, then all of a sudden she's wearing something pretty and something, you know, nice smells or some little earrings or some, you know, she just sees how much I want her and my erection is there. It says to her that she's wanted, she's turning me on, she's successfully giving to me. And the reason she can feel so good about that is she knows I'm disciplined. Remember I talked about discipline? She knows I'm not just going to get off and that's going to be over. Thanks a lot, honey. That was great. When she's giving all this, doing her Venusian thing, waiting to get it all back. In polarity sex, she can get it back if you practice this discipline. So she's giving and giving. He fills up. Second stage is he gives to her. I have a signal when I make that step. I put her hands back. That's sometimes a signal. Sometimes it's now it's all for you. Just relax and enjoy. And it's like I start all over. And that's the most secret of all teachings around sex when I used to read all these different ancient texts, which is the most important message, was start and start over. And start over and start over. It's like let you get excited and then relax again. Get excited and relax. And let the energy build up until you have this wonderful experience together. Okay. I'm going to do this chart on what makes sex great. Man wants the woman to be proceptive. Proceptive is how a woman initiates sex. How does a woman initiate sex? With hardly any doing, but somehow she does it. It's a look, it's a glance. She makes herself available to the man. She welcomes him in some very indirect way, but she welcomes him. She lets him know that he could be the one. He lets him know, tonight you could make me happy. She lets him know that he can succeed in fulfilling her. In a sense, she invites him with her body, with her eyes, with her feelings. She's accepting, she's appreciative, she's trusting. This is proceptive. She's sending him a message that he could be the one. Now, can you relate to that? You know that message? Okay, they did a study, they asked women, what are your strategies in sex? The women wrote, well, I'll walk over to him. Well, I'll wear something nice so he has something to say to me. Well, I'll move like this. I'll move my lips close to his. And you ask men, what are your strategies in sex? Well, I stick my tongue in her mouth. I rub my hand on this. I do it like this. I move this. It's like they think strategy starts once she started the whole thing. You see, she sets the environment for it to happen, and then he does it. Okay? But he doesn't do all that other stuff. She's got to give him signals that make it safe for him, in a sense, to walk across the room and to say, "Would you dance?" Okay? That's a scary thing for him. It's very painful, his rejection. And it's painful for you to walk across and say, "Would you dance too?" And he'll say no. So it's like this subtle thing where he's kind of looking for signs that it's going to work out okay so that he can come along and kiss you and start to touch you or say to you, you know, "Are you in the mood to make love tonight? Would you like to make love tonight?" Or, "Let's make love tonight." Or, "Let's create some time tonight for making love. Is that okay with you? Would you like to do that?" Proceptive. Okay, number one thing on that side. What else do men want? Okay, another version of proceptive is for women to be inviting. Okay, their energy needs to be inviting. It needs to be receptive. Open to receiving him. Okay, and once you're open to receiving him, you will become, which is what we want, is for you to be responsive to him, to feel happy or pleased by him. We want you to be happy or pleased by our touch, by our look, by what we do. Ultimately, in sex, what we want is for the woman to be sensual. We want her to really get into it, enjoy our touch, to be orgasmic, which is where your energy is building up and building up and building up, and it's just not orgasm, but just it's just building and building, and you're just having pleasure. You're not in your head, you're in your body. What we like is this feeling, women, when you're almost like a cat. You know how cats kind of just sort of slink around? You know what I'm talking about, women? It's when your body is just fit, you know, like water pouring in and just fitting on. It's yielding, pliable, you know, moving around like that. We just want to feel you clinging to us, in a sense, our strength entering into you, and you're so receptive and open. Yielding energy is what we like. And, of course, a woman has to trust the man and feel very loved and safe to be that way. But how many women know what I'm talking about, that yielding energy? How many men like that yielding energy? I mean, when my wife really just surrenders and lets me in, I'll remember that for a week. I'm just like, I'm on top of the world from that energy because it makes me feel so trusted, so trusting, accepting, appreciative. And bottom line, he wants to feel needed. Not needy. But it's like when he fills you up, it's like he's just giving you the greatest gift in the world. This is what you need inside. Okay. All right. What do women want in sex? Okay. Women want him to be aroused. Okay. He's attracted to her. He needs to be attracted to her. But what allows a man to be attracted to you, women, I just want you to know, is your proceptivity. In the animal kingdom, you put out a little scent and the men get aroused. The same thing in this kingdom. And actually, scents do work. Sometimes some of these perfumes will cover up some of the natural scents. But I do like those flowery smells. They're really nice. I mean, that's why I like Hawaii so much. It's smells do a lot for me. It's actually a very primal arousal thing, the smells. And that's probably where all the perfumes came from to start with. Okay, arousal. What a man wants a woman to be is receptive. What a woman wants a man to be is giving. In a sense, she wants him to be her knight in shining armor, who is attentive to her, confident, self-assured, knowledgeable of her body and what she needs. She wants you to know. It means you need to take a course, what you're doing right now, on how to make love to a woman. Find out how to do it. Be that interested in her. Just like if you were going to buy a new car, you'd read the whole manual, wouldn't you? Right. Put it that way. Okay. What he wants from him is for him to be patient. I said before what she wants from him is to be disciplined. Okay. Disciplined in that he's not just going to come and forget about her. That he's going to make sure he controls his energy so that she gets her orgasm and then he takes his. She wants him to be responsible for birth control. Okay. Don't just say afterwards, "Did you have your diaphragm in, you know, or is this a safe time?" It's a scary thing to get pregnant if you're not wanting to be pregnant. And just the sign that you are being attentive to the protection against having a baby builds in such an intense level of safety for her. We use condoms, and because I personally don't like the diaphragm at all, because I would always bump it, you know, and that didn't feel good to me. And also, it would be like somehow in the middle of my wanting to do this thing, she would have to stop and get up and do this whole mechanical thing. It's a lot easier just to put a condom over the top of the penis. And it's sort of like something I had control over. I got the condom right over here. And, you know, lots of guys will say, because sometimes women don't want to put all these fluids inside of them. They have chemicals and all this stuff. And the guys will go, I don't want to wear a condom. And that's ridiculous as far as I'm concerned. You just do it after a while. You don't miss anything. It's the energy that counts. It's not always the raw skin connection. However, there might be some special times when you'll do it another way so that you can have that skin on skin, which is, you know, it has a special experience. But being responsible for birth control. One time, I thought she was the one who was responsible, and because occasionally she keeps a schedule of when she's ovulating and when she's not, and she knows there's about 3 days in the month when she knows it for absolute sure that she can't get pregnant, and she's real clear on her schedule and everything. So we'll have sex at those times without a condom, and generally, she kind of lets me know, okay, by right towards the beginning of sex, she'll take my friend and put it right in. And I go, hooray, at that time of the month, you know. And one time she sort of did that, and I got the signal, and I started to put it in, and she said, John. And, you know, and she was like really shocked that I wasn't being responsible for birth control. It took her a while to like build up the trust again that I was always going to be concerned about birth control, because part of what a woman wants is to be able to relax and not have to be responsible. That's what we want. We don't want you to be responsible, worrying about your kids and worrying about everything. We want you just to be in the moment. So we men, whose sex is more being in control and letting go, but control of ourselves and what we're doing, we need to be sure that we're capable of protecting her against having a baby if that's not your choice at that time. So being responsible. Directive. A woman wants a man to be directive. And what I mean by that is that he's not always asking her, what should I do now? What should I do now? Okay, it's like that really turns a woman off. Like, what should I do? She doesn't want to just be, well, now do this and now do this. And what she wants is you to take little risks, like, okay, let's move around like this, and let's turn around like this, or now I want you to be on top, you know, or you kind of just pull her over on top. It's just kind of a nice feeling to have somebody moving you around. It's the same thing as dancing, you know. If you're a woman, if you ever, guys, you should, you know, I mean, I pretended to be a woman one time, my wife, we did role reversal, and just have somebody moving me around, it's a fun thing. You just sort of get out of your head, and you can just go with the flow. Well, that's what a woman feels in sex, is you just kind of move her around a bit, and she doesn't have to worry about what she has to do to please you. You're just taking care of everything. Directive, flexible, okay? Meaning, it's not going to have to be the same way every time. Okay, variety, we talked about that one. Teasing. What do women want in sex? Foreplay. We talked all about that one. To be teased. And of course, what this whole course has been about is women want to be loved. They want to feel that you care. They want to feel your strength and your gentleness at the same time, your hardness and your softness at the same time. You're hard, and yet you don't pound her chest. Okay? You're soft when you touch her chest. You're soft when you're touching her in different places. But as you're touching clitoris and nipples, as she becomes more intense, as she becomes more hard, you can become more intense. You might, some women like to have their nipples squeezed. They like to have the clitoris pressed more hard than other women. But it's only when they're already hard. Okay, it's like the hardness meets the hardness. But when it's soft, you don't squeeze it or pinch it or any of that stuff. And of course, they need the understanding. They need the reassurance when you're making love to them that they're beautiful, that they're loved, that they're special. Soft, gentle words, sweet nothings, as it said, are very, very valuable, and to be respectful of her needs, which is to listen to this tape at least once every few months, or if not a few times a year, for just to remind ourselves of the little things that we forget. And you know, I talk to women about reinforcing a man's good behavior, okay? You know, it's like giving him a fish, like the porpoise. Whenever the porpoise does the trick, you give it a fish. You know, it does the right thing, you give it a fish. When a man does the right thing, accidentally does the right thing, you give him more love, you give him appreciation. You don't ever punish him for not doing the right thing, but you give him love. Well, there was this time, you know, I talk about differences between me and my wife. One is that I like rock and roll music. She likes silence. She also likes symphonies. So she was always this big thing in the first few years of our marriage to go to the symphony. You know, it's like I would always forget or not schedule or whatever. Finally, we went to one of these symphonies, and it was great. I mean, it was San Francisco Symphony. It was wonderful. It was just some beautiful, beautiful music. I loved it. She loved it times 10, okay? It was just out of this world for her. She was so happy. She was so grateful to me for bringing her, and I was dressed up in my suit. Something that turns women on is when we dress up and look good. You know, some guys, they go out, they want to just dress like slobs, you know? It's like, now I don't have to dress up. They want you to dress up, you know? It's like, so then they can dress up and look beautiful and all that stuff. So anyway, I'm all dressed up. She's having this great evening. You can tell she's ready to have a great evening. She doesn't bring her heavy purse with her, you know? She brings this little tiny purse with glitter on it that says, I'm still a Venusian. But basically, she's letting me take care of everything. I take her, and I'm opening the car door, and we're walking. She's got her arm wrapped around mine. It's just this wonderful evening of male-female energies, you know, and I'm handling the evening. Driving home, and she says, she whispers over, and she says, that show, I mean, this evening has really been wonderful. I'm really wet. I went, really wet? Wet? Whoa, you know, it's just like... I woke up. I said, really, you know? And she says, yeah. Immediately, I came alive, you know, and I started touching her a little bit, just her leg and her thigh. I said, oh, this is exciting, you know? And she goes, yeah, I feel like I could do it now. And I pulled right over, you know? So, I waited till we got home, but I pulled into our garage, our parking area by our house, and I just decided, hey, you know, this is like being a teenager again. We just did it in the car, right there, and... We could have gone in the house and done it there, but I know the house, you know, that's kids around there. So we just did it in the car, and, you know, those great new cars, the seats go all the way back, so you got your own little bed, but still, it's quite uncomfortable, but it's still fun. So we made this great love in the car, and we were excited, ripping off our clothes in the car and doing this whole thing, and I just felt great, she felt great, it was great sex, and the next day, needless to say, there was one thing on my mind, season tickets to the symphony. Now, this doesn't mean that the way you give a man rewards for his right, you know, to let him know you appreciate what he's doing is by sex, but just to let you know that it works, you know? What worked is she didn't want to have sex with me to reward me for that. It's the same thing. She was just so fulfilled and so happy in her relationship and felt so taken care of and loved and cherished that she was aroused. And I got the message, when I treat her like this, I went over some line that night that I hadn't gone over before, and I go, all right, I'm going to swim over that rope again and get my fish. You know, somebody says symphony, I go, yeah, symphony, you know. They think I'm talking about symphony, but subliminally I'm thinking about after the symphony. You know? And she tested me on this. Next time we went to the symphony, we didn't make love that night, you know. And I think it was almost sort of a subtle test to make sure that it doesn't mean that every time we're going to do that, we're going to have sex. Because a woman should never feel like she's obligated to have sex or she's supposed to be in this aroused state for some reason. It has to go with her flow, with her nature. In our society, we, you know, just to feel more okay with our society, and since these are the words we use, we have sort of more of a crude description of oral sex. It's called blowjob, okay? So how many men love blowjobs? Let me just see. So this time we're going to do 1, 2, 3, I love blowjobs, right? 1, 2, 3.
I love blowjobs.
Okay, good. Okay. Good old blowjobs. So there's all kinds of wonderful places for blowjobs. Of course, one is, you know, you're on a long trip. You know, you're driving along the highway. You're getting kind of tired. My wife knows I'm kind of nodding off. She kind of gets closer, starts rubbing my thigh. You know, she's all into safety on the highway, so... She kind of wakes me up a little bit and starts unzipping my zipper and like somebody wakes up, you know. I might be asleep, but somebody wakes up, you know, and then she starts gently stroking me and getting all excited. I'm getting all excited. And she'll say to me, you're not going to fall asleep now, are you?
No, honey, I'm fine.
Well, what I will do is I'll tend to slow down. And she always thinks, John is such a courteous driver. He slows down to make sure everything's safe. But actually, I have other reasons for slowing down, which she doesn't realize. But it's, when I slow down, it really is ultimately for the safety of the highway. Truckers who've been driving along for like 500 miles, and they come by, and that's what they're looking for all the time. They're looking down your car, and there they see it. It makes their whole trip, you know? They're awake for the... Yeah, they'll keep awake for hours and hours and hours because they'll remember it. They'll tell their friends. As a matter of fact, after about 3 minutes of watching, they'll get on their CB. Okay, we got one here at the corner of 380 and 13. And you'll start seeing them all come in from all the entrances, all these, the big, they're all lining up behind, you know, one's going ahead, and my wife's going, what are all these trucks doing here? Anyway, they're busy getting their vicarious pleasure from falling asleep themselves. But it is a delightful gift that she can give me, and certainly there's sometimes I'll be going along, she'll be doing a little oral sex, and then give me a blow job, and I'll sort of reach over and say, now I want to give you an orgasm before you finish me off. And so I'll just reach over. I don't have one of these stick shifts. I got automatic for this reason. I got to try. And I'll just start, she gets all aroused turning me on, so I just start touching her clitoris, and she has an orgasm while we're driving, and then she finishes me off, and I'm in heaven. It's like we just made love. I mean, it's fantastic. And there's other times, I travel a lot, and some of you travel, and you're in a committed relationship, and, sometimes there's temptations out there. You start wishing you were home with your wife, so instead of, of course, not having an affair, I wouldn't do that, but instead of, masturbating alone in a hotel room or something, I just call up my wife and say, honey, I'm really missing you, I'm really turned on. I wish I was there with you. We could make love. I'd hug you and kiss you and hold you and start saying all this stuff to her. And then I start pretending like we're together. And now I'm hugging you and kissing you and your breasts are getting a little more firm and I'm touching this and reading this. And I describe the whole thing and she starts saying, yes, and this feels really good, honey. And we're both sitting there masturbating off together on the phone. And we have telephone sex, and Ma Bell approves, So there's telephone sex, there's driving sex. And then there's good old blowjobs. And I like to be a little more graphic in a description of a blowjob because I had some real positive experiences with this. And that is, my wife and I, we've been married about 6 or 7 years, but we got together 12 years ago. And sex was great then, and we were together for a few years. We just weren't mature enough to have a good relationship together, and I needed to go off and get married and make a lot of problems and grow up and realized what an incredible woman she was, and I went back and married her, and she realized I'd grown up and was happy to marry me. So we had this sweet little story, and there's another aspect which is quite interesting, which is we had sex then, and when I came back, we had sex again. And she was very happy and eager to give me blowjobs, and she basically would do the standard blowjob, which most women have got the instruction somewhere of the standard blowjob, which is you insert the penis in the mouth, and you move up and down kind of like a vagina, making sure not to touch your teeth, but put your lips over the teeth and keep your lips lubricated, and you give him this wonderful experience. And so Bonnie did it fine, I was always happy with it, God, this was great. But then when I got back together with her, the first thing we did, she was, when we finally started to make love again, and she was looked really excited, she was like really eager to give me a blowjob. So I said, all right, I'm happy to have this anytime, And so she starts to go down on me, and after about 3 minutes or 4 minutes, I stopped her and says, where'd you learn all this? She was doing all these new things, She said, it was my last boyfriend, so-and-so. And ever since that day, I've been so grateful to him. Okay? I'm so thankful in my heart. And of course, anything that you receive, you want to share with others. So, and really, that's the key to keeping something in your life is you keep sharing it. So I figure that if I want to keep my wife doing this stuff for me, I'll just let all the other women in the world know so they can give it to their men, and all the men in the world will be grateful to me. And women, you keep sharing it with other women because we men want the women of the world to know these simple little things. So I'm going to give you a little demonstration. I need a prop to do this. And the bag, please. And what is in the bag? But a banana. So I figure I would do a little demonstration here. You sort of more visually get it with the banana. Now, first of all, women, an erection is a direct line to a man's heart, okay? This goes right to his heart, okay? In some traditions they say, the stomach is the way to a man's heart. It's about 4 inches off, okay? This erect penis is the direct channel to his heart. And when you're touching that penis, you're really just loving that person. You're loving him. And so you just let your love pour on that penis. and you put your mouth over that penis, and that feels real good to him. So basically, a blowjob should be a positive experience for the woman as well as for the man, because actually it's her gift to him. And there are a few things that don't make it a positive experience for her, so I'd like to cover those first, and then we'll look at what makes it a wonderful experience. The first thing is, as she's doing this wonderful thing, she's got her mouth on his penis, and he's going up and down, up and down. At a certain point, where it starts feeling really good, and he's just about to come, he'll take her head and ram it in on his penis. And at that point, it's just like all of a sudden, it's no longer her gift. It's a very shocking experience for her, to say the least. And it's a very disrespectful thing to do. She feels like she's being used. Can any women relate to what I'm saying here? Okay, so I'll notice the quickness of their hands went up. This is like a major complaint, is at that time meant, let her know I'm coming if you're going to come inside her mouth. But the other thing is, don't ram her head, okay, on your penis. It just turns a beautiful gift into a negative experience for her. The other thing is more general and simple, which is, here's a woman giving a guy oral sex, and she's got her mouth on the penis, and it's going up and down, like this, up and down. And after a while, it starts feeling really good. And about the important, he wants more. At that point, she starts having lockjaw. It starts hurting. You know, he's going, oh, more, baby, more, more. And she's going, oh, oh, oh. He's going, yeah, yeah, oh, oh, oh. And it becomes very painful for her, you know? So this is the strategy, so it's a win-win. It doesn't have to be painful for you, and he can have all the ecstasy he wants. You're going along. It starts feeling really good for him. What most men do is quite suddenly, they go into their Stevie Wonder imitation. Their head goes back. They start going, oh, yeah, give me some more. Now, at that moment, when his eyes are rolled back, his head is back, he has no idea what you're doing. You take your mouth off the penis, and you use your hand. He doesn't know the difference, you know? He's doing, oh, baby, yeah, yeah, this is great, right? And you're going along with your hand. After a while, he's going, boy, she's lasting a long time at this. So he'll check out to see what's going on. Put your mouth back on. He checks and says, yeah, she's still going. He puts his head back. Oh, yeah, give me some more. Give me some more. Give me some more. Give me some more. And he's got his head rolled back again. You just start stroking it with your hand. You just put your hands around the penis and just go up and down, up and down, up and down. And then that's the basic technique. Now, these are some of these wonderful extras, okay? This is like the little additions you add to it. And this is the first time my wife went down on me. She started doing all these things, and they were just wonderful, and I'm just going to share some of them just to give variety. You know, it's like variety, so just the same up and down. She'd be going up and down, and all of a sudden she'd start be going, you know, her mouth would be going up, down, then the hand would do two, well, two, hand, two, back and forth, as clutch, clutch, up, down, clutch, clutch, up, down, up and down, back and forth, over the top. Over the top, hand goes over the top, back and forth, up and down, fast, 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 slow. Like seal noises. Then she's got her mouth on the up and down, up and down, back and forth, over the top, up and down. Then you can do ring finger, okay? I mean, you make a ring with your fingers. Your fingers just go up and down like a little ring, and you can go real fast that way. Real fast, real lightly, and then you do your whole hand. Okay? And sometimes her finger is going up and down. You can put your mouth on top to keep lubricating. Now, so you got your mouth going up and down, you got your fingers moving up and down at the same time. Now you got a few more here. There's this vein that moves up the front of the penis, okay? So the outside going up. what you can do is use your tongue and lick up that vein. It tends to be very erogenous for him. After you've done the basics, I mean, you got to give him this basic stimulation. He wants intensity first, and then you start doing all this variety stuff, back and forth, up and down, around and around. Then you can start licking around this vein, licking up the vein, then licking around the head of the penis. There's a ridge. You just lick around, lick around, lick around. Then you put your hand back down, you know, and then you go up and down, go quick, 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 up and down, round and round. Okay, then there's, after you've been focusing on the penis for quite a while. Now, sometimes what you can do is treat the head of the penis very much like the clitoris, with your thumb, and just go back and forth very quickly the way you want your clitoris touched, back and forth, back and forth. But then you go back down again, and you'll get this moan from him, and another moan, and then you do feather touch again, feather touch, little tiny movements, little tiny movements, and then long movement. Now you can have your mouth on his penis, going up and down, and sometimes you can reach up, and after a while, this arousal, you reach up and grab his nipples, start touching his nipples. They can become very, very erogenous, touching his breast, opening up that whole area, touching his thighs. And the most powerful place to touch, to see, once you focus, now you start spreading out, is his testicles. His testicles are so sensitive at that time, they feel so good, you start gently touching the testicles as you've got your mouth on his penis, or you could be stroking his penis with your hand, ringed around his penis up and down, and you start licking the testicles. He'll moan, okay? I mean, it just drives him wild. If you do it too soon, it will tickle. You have to wait till he's really down there, okay? Then you start licking his testicles, and then you go to this place, it's called the perineum point between the anus and where the testicles join the body, is that right in the middle is the perineum point, another erogenous zone in a man, and you can press in there, you can gently stroke it back and forth, on his penis, drives him nuts. He starts moaning. Press in at that point. Press in hard. That can be very arousing for him. Make sure your nail's not going in. And again, stretching out. There's one thing that she was doing all these different things. I was in heaven. She was going on. It's like she was doing show and tell or something, you know. She was really getting into it too. And at one point, all of a sudden, she grabbed my testicles and pulled them down. Okay. I said, whoa, hold it. Don't do that. I don't recommend that. But her boyfriend had taught her that one. That's the one thing I didn't like. But in some cultures, that's how they did birth control. And it's a good sign for a woman to know. When a man's about to have an ejaculation, what you'll see is his testicles will start coming up. Testicles will start coming up. They start shrinking up. The balls start going up inside, and that's starting to pump the ejaculate out. And the way they used to do birth control is once they saw those testicles going up, they'd pull them down. Don't mess with Mother Nature, okay? So I don't recommend that one at all. But you can lick them, you can lick the thighs, you can lick all around that area, and occasionally going back to stroking the penis. So if you appreciate my talk on oral sex, let me know what you're talking about. Finally, what I want to say is that all this works when you have love, when you have a relationship. Maybe if you don't have a relationship and you don't have love, it will make you a skilled lover, but the passion will last one or two times, a few times at the most, and then it becomes nothing. It's love that fuels. It's everything we've been working on this weekend to create intimacy, good communication, trust, acceptance, appreciation. That's how we bring those energies into the body, and we actually create good health. And sex, in turn, tends to support increasing intimacy. So they go hand in hand. Not sex to create intimacy, but intimacy the basis. Good sex then allows you to be more intimate. More intimacy allows you to have sex. And you let it feed each other in that way. So if you appreciate my whole presentation on sex, let me know what you're talking about.
Like most people are ready to experience more fulfillment in your life, and especially in your relationships, John Gray is ready to assist you. Call now for free information on John's internationally acclaimed live seminars, as well as his audio and video tapes. The toll-free number is 1-800 334-2110. Just some of the subjects covered are secrets of passion, improving communication, lasting intimacy and fulfillment, raising your self-esteem, releasing fear and anxiety, increasing your success, healing the past, the power of forgiveness, secrets of great sex, and more. That number to call is 1-800-834-2110. On behalf of John Gray and his family, thank you for letting us make a difference. You truly deserve successful relationships.
At the end of the music, please fast forward the tape to the end. Side A will be queued up for your next listening.